I have a question for you about me, and it may be a little dangerous to even ask. What was your first impression of me? We human beings are built to size up each other quickly. It takes a mere 7 seconds to make a first impression. Now think about what factors influence our first impression. Facial shape, vocal inflection, attractiveness, and general emotional state. We tend to get attached to our initial first impression of others, then find it very difficult to change our opinion, even when presented with lots of evidence to the contrary. So I asked a friend of mine of 36 years her first impressions of me. As her new pastor and priest, she saw me as trying to find my place and trying too hard to be accepted. I impressed her as a little too scripted and practiced. As a person, I impressed her as being shy, which made me seem unapproachable. Well, these first impressions can be deceiving. Think of the people in your life today and compare your original perception of them with what you know now. Sometimes our initial take on someone is off by a little, or sometimes a lot. John the Baptist, as we saw last weekend, was on a learning curve about Jesus, the same as the rest of us. We think of John as having the sort of home court advantage because he was the intertestamental prophet of the one who is to come. Since he was the one preparing the way, surely John knew all about who and what was coming. But John was not a comic book hero endowed with superpowers. He was a faithful servant of God, straining to hear the word being spoken in his times. By all accounts, John did have an innate instinct about the presence of the holy. His sense of the sacred he received in his mother's womb would serve him well, but it was not infallible or immune to human factors like ignorance and doubt. Although his chosen profession was to be the forerunner of the coming one, John admits in today's gospel that I did not know him. He says these words twice so that we have no confusion about his meaning. John had no cosmic pipeline making him a mere trader of insider information. Like all the prophets of the Hebrew scriptures, he was simply a workhorse in the spiritual life. His career's professional dedication was looking and listening and paying attention for the presence of God breaking into time that is happening all around us in every age. John hesitates when Jesus presents himself for baptism. He betrays his reservations again while under arrest in prison. He's beginning to wonder if Jesus is the right Messiah. He has no peepstones or X-ray vision to validate his sense that Jesus is the Lord. So we stand in amazement of John the Baptist on the short side of salvation history. His profession of faith is made before Jesus had frankly done a blessed thing. John's gospel does not recount the baptism of Jesus, as we heard last week in Matthew. Jesus is shown sponsoring the baptism of others. So what we do have is John's apparent witness of the Spirit's descent upon Jesus. And he then identifies him as the Paschal Lamb. Now, if Jesus came today, we might announce, "Here comes Jesus, the superstar." Or, "Here is that guy whose words have gone viral." To better understand and appreciate the term Lamb of God, we need to look both backward and forward. Jewish life for centuries embraced rituals of sacrifice to God, offerings of love to please God. Remember Abraham in Genesis? God asked him to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. A sad scene turns to a joyous one when Abraham's command to sacrifice his beloved Isaac is halted by an angel. And behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket, and he offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. In the Passover story, the lamb is central. God passes through the land of Egypt, striking down the firstborn of each household. However, the homes of the Jews, whose doors were marked with the blood of a lamb, are passed over. In the book of Revelation, the term lamb is used 29 times, always referring to Christ, whose blood saves the new Israel from sin and death. The sacrifice made by the Lamb of God was a perfect sacrifice. The sacrifices we make as Christians, the sheep of the Good Shepherd, if genuine, will be perfectly acceptable to God. Like John the Baptist, our baptism calls us to testify to the presence of the Lamb of God in our midst. And we declare our testimony in no less effective vehicles, in our self-sacrificing for others, in our unfailing compassion for others, in our uncompromising moral convictions, in our attempts, however small or simple, to bring forgiveness and reconciliation to those around us. And in particular, our witness to equality and justice, as we remember the witness of Martin Luther King Jr. this week, and our moral commitment for respect for all of human life and to work for the legal protection of the unborn. So what impressions do we exhibit to others as Christian Catholics? And who impresses you as a committed Christian and Catholic? We are asked to be in communion with the Lamb in sacrifice as well as at a meal. Christianity demands many sacrifices of us. Here comes the Lamb of God. We will receive this martyred Lamb shortly, even though we declare we are not worthy to welcome him under our roof. Yes, yet blessed, very blessed, are we who are called to the supper of the Lamb.